Welcome to the Data Up Podcast. My name is Brian Ward, the creator and host of the Data Up Podcast. I am a coach, Marine Corps veteran, speaker, husband, and you guessed it, a dad. Are you ready to be inspired to be the best dad you can be for your family? This show will provide you with the tips, tools, and strategies to do just that. Are you a dad just going through the motions? Or are you looking to really elevate your dad game to the next level? Truth is, it is a blessing to be a dad. This is a responsibility we must take seriously. In the end, how do you want to be remembered? I hope you want to be remembered as a phenomenal dad. Your legacy starts in the home, not outside the home. If you're really ready to elevate your dad game, then make sure you bang that subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode. Now, let's get started. Dad up.
Welcome to another episode of Dad Up, everyone. Thank you guys very much for joining me. Thank you again for checking out this episode. It's got my good friend Corey Jenks on it. And listen, Corey and I have had an opportunity to kind of meet recently over social media, and he's got a couple of things that he's working on that I'm really excited for him to talk about. But I'm excited to dive into his backstory as well and also talk about his dad journey. So my good friend Corey Jenks, welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you for having me. Excited to join you and chat dad stuff. You got a few more years of dad experience, so right. I'll probably be learning from you more than me.
So. Yeah, I like to say I've been around the dad journey, the dad block a few times with my boys. He and I were just talking a little bit before we started recording, and I was telling him that, you know, this next week, by the time this show comes out, my younger son will have graduated. But this next week, we're heading to Arizona, where actually Corey's located, to watch the graduation of my youngest son from college, which is really cool. And it's a big feat. And then he's talking about, you know, he's looking at going to kindergarten promotion. So
yeah, different seasons.
Yeah, much different. But I can tell you that even in those different seasons, you know, as a dad, those different seasons, yes, although they may be completely different, they're still important and they still carry huge memories for us. I can remember when my boys were graduating or moving on from kindergarten. I can remember my boys were moving on from junior high and going into high school. I can remember walking my kids to their first day of high school. I can remember moving them into their first day of college. And as I shared with you before we started recording, my older son graduated college 3 years ago, and yet I can still remember very distinctly moving him in to college, his very first time away from home in Arizona, and what a scary time that was, not only for him, but for us as parents, because we're just kind of, it's a new chapter for our child's life. And, you know, you're talking about having younger ones. Yes, mm-hmm. They're still in your home. And yes, they're still kind of relying on you guys, you and your wife, a lot for guidance and support and love and encouragement and nourishment and all those sorts of things. But they hit these milestones, and it's not only a celebration for them, it's a celebration for you guys, right? Mm-hmm. It's a celebration for you guys to move them into that next chapter of their life. Kind of like with my boys, you know, my younger son will graduate, and then we get to help move him into the next chapter of his life of really, you know, starting a career and all that kind of stuff. So it's really cool. But let's do this before we kind of dive into all your dad journey and my dad journey and just kind of shoot the stuff about dad life. Let's talk a little bit about you, kind of your background, how you grew up, kind of how you got into the things you're doing. And then we'll get right into the dad stuff, because my listeners may not know who you are. So, and I want to know a little bit more about you as well. So go ahead and take it away.
Well, judging by my website traffic and social media following, a lot of you don't know who I am, but, my name is Corey Jenks. I grew up here. I live in Tucson, Arizona. I was born and raised here. And speaking of sitting your parents on a tough journey in a different chapter, I went to college in South Carolina, to the University of South Carolina. And so, I mean, I ended up out there thinking, you know, when I was a kid, my chemistry teacher asked what I want to do for a living. And I said, I want to pitch for the Chicago Cubs. And she said, well, that's not going to happen. Have you thought about being a pharmacist? So I was in chemistry class. So she crushed my athletic dreams pretty early. And it was a wise choice. There was no chance that that was happening. So I wanted to get out of Tucson. I enjoyed science, decided at 16 to be a pharmacist. So 2011, I graduated from the University of South Carolina with my Doctor of Pharmacy degree, came back home to Tucson. I was homesick, missing home, and did a residency there, which for those who are unfamiliar, pharmacists can do residencies. And so I've been practicing since 2011. 2013, I started on a sort of parallel journey of doing improv comedy. So I'm a pharmacist, I'm a comedian, and I've been doing that over a decade. And in addition to doing the comedy thing, I started applying it to my job as a pharmacist. And so about 5 years ago, I've started speaking to healthcare organizations on the application of improv comedy to healthcare. It's a skill that's not just about being funny, it's listening, communication, teamwork. And it really transformed my pharmacy career. And then a couple of years ago, I was speaking about all this stuff and decided to write a book. So I wrote my first book, Permission to Care, Building a Healthcare Culture That Thrives in Chaos. And then I have a dad book coming out May 12th. So depending on when you listen to this in 2024, that's sort of a humorous guide for new dads. And so that's my 37-year journey in a nutshell. So I'm kind of an unconventional pharmacist, comedian, author, speaker. And on top of all that, this is the Dad Up podcast. So I'm a father of three that are six and under. We just celebrated a sixth birthday. So the leading edge of kids is six. The middle one is 3.5 and the little girl is 10 months old. So wow. I'm doing all this. I'm working I work part-time as a pharmacist now. I watch the kids part-time and then I spend the rest of my time writing, speaking, trying to make people laugh.
Wow. Okay. Well, there's actually a lot to unpack there, even though, you know, I've never thought in a million years that I would hear somebody say, yeah, I'm a pharmacist and a comedian.
Yeah. We're not known for our humor. I kind of like being a pharmacist comedian because the bar is so low for comedy as a pharmacist. It's sort of cheating, but you meet a pharmacist with a pulse and a personality and you're like, this guy's kind of funny. And so when I have actual comedic training, you're like, wow, I never thought that it could be that funny. And I say, do not expect that for most pharmacists. So, yeah.
did you ever think that that would be kind of did you have a passion to be a comedian?
I always loved comedy. Like I grew up watching The Simpsons, Saturday Night Live, things like that. And then in college, there was an improv comedy group that I went and saw and was blown away by. But I was a very dutiful student and thought I didn't have time to do something fun like that. I have to study chemistry and biology. So when I finished my residency, I had extra time on my hands for the first time in, you know, years. And my wife got it. We were dating. It was her first birthday present to me was an improv comedy class, and went to it and just sort of from there snowballed class to class to performing, to teaching, to running our comedy school. And then when the first kid came along and you're performing for 17 people here in Tucson for free, getting away from your family is a little bit harder. And so I wanted to decide, you know, how do I push my comedy career? And that's when I kind of had that realization that, hey, it's really made me a better pharmacist. I think that I could help a lot of other healthcare professionals with this. So rather than hit one of the big cities and try to get on SNL, I've found a little bit of a niche of teaching it to healthcare professionals and then other businesses as well.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I think that's, like I said, it's very interesting. It's very a different, unique kind of a twist to pharmacy culture and teachings and all that. I think you could probably be a little careful with talking about being a pharmacist and a comedian without, you know, going down some illegal path.
That's always something to be careful with. But right. I think the interesting thing about improv comedy specifically, it is the goal is to be funny, but a lot of the skills are just listening, communication, being in the moment and teamwork. And I think and my wife's a nurse practitioner who's done improv training as well. And I think the big takeaway that a lot of our patients tell us is that we're really good at listening. And that's so many patients in healthcare feel unheard. And while I can't fix everyone that I work with, speak to, you know, have as patients, I can always listen. And I think that's something that very important there as a pharmacist. But, you know, again, if we're going to parallel this or move into the dad world, living in the moment, playing, being able to listen and be in the moment is such a crucial skill that I think, unfortunately, a lot of us are lacking right now.
Right. Now, I would just do my little bit of research that I was doing. I noticed that, you know, through your journey as a pharmacist, and trying to be getting into comedy, you really found yourself struggling with the time commitment for not only doing both, but also for trying to be a good husband and a father and have a family and all that. Mm-hmm. And so you took a step back. You went from full-time, you know, of a career, full-time in pharmacy to part-time. And you did that so you could spend a little bit more time at home with the kids and the family. How did that impact your guys' life? And as you as a dad, how did that impact your life?
It's funny. My wife said that I'm much happier. It's just my general affect was happier. Maybe it doesn't say a lot for the pharmacy profession, but I think that my wife works full time and she works remote. So it's sort of an asynchronous job, but she was trying to have at that time our two kids at home 2 days a week, and they're in school 3 days a week. So the goal for us was we have more days with our kids than they're at school. And it was becoming very hard for her, and I was ready for a change as well. And so I think, you know, we're working, not that I don't love pharmacy sometimes, but it's good to take a step back. But as a family, it really allowed me to be in sort of an unconventional position as a father to be the primary caregiver 2 days during the week when my wife was working. And, you know, having been out at the part-time world now for almost 2 years, I realized that my oldest son, the last year he had before kindergarten, where he's in school every day, I was part-time. I was with him every Tuesday and Thursday. And we were going to the park, which was, you know, going to the park was what kind of spurred the idea for this next that's coming out. But, you know, for all the income I wasn't making for the time I wasn't at work, you know, doing that profession, I think it really benefited the family. The kids, I think someday we'll appreciate it more. They're at a stage where they're still kind of mama's boys, right? But we had a lot of great times at the park. And those are times that, you know, if I'd worked more and saved more money or whatever, I could never buy those times back. And so it was sort of hit me last spring before my son was going to kindergarten. Like, this is the last Thursday I get with him. Oh my gosh. I'm so glad I did this.
Yeah. It's interesting. Through my journey as a dad, one of the things that was important to me was that to make sure I was at all the different events and at every moment that I could be at. And I worked in corporate America. So yeah. I had a pretty hectic schedule. And not only that, but my boys, you know, they played sports. So I was always coaching their teams and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I used to have to make sacrifices in my work, in my job, in order mm-hmm. to make sure I was there for them and the family. Yes, I could have very easily moved up the ladder a lot faster and mm-hmm. made a lot more money if I devoted, you know, 80 hours of my week to my career. And I mm-hmm. saw many dads do that. I saw many men do that and become very successful doing that. Mm-hmm. But at what cost? At what expense? Yeah. And I was not willing to make that sacrifice at the expense of my family and at the expense mm-hmm. of my kids to have a little bit more money. I used to have dads tell me, well, if you were doing this, this, and this, and this, and this, you'd be able to retire a lot earlier. Then you'd be able to spend all your time with your family. And I thought, mm-hmm. well, if I did that, now my boys are adults and mm-hmm. now they're off doing their own thing. I'm alone again because they're not in the same world as me. Like, and our connection, mm-hmm. our bond wouldn't be the same. So I wasn't willing to make that sacrifice. I wanted to continue building on my bond and my relationship with my boys through their lives, even if it meant mm-hmm. sacrificing a little bit in my own life. And my wife and I have sacrificed in various areas of our life mm-hmm. to make sure that we were there for our boys. So it sounds like that's kind of the path that you wanted to take.
Yeah. And I think that that's a message that a lot of dads need to hear. Like, when you have a kid, it stops being about you. It's mm-hmm. about the kids. And I mean, for all I know of my 6 years of being a dad, but I see it in my patients that I talk to that have that regret that their mm-hmm. kids are grown. And every older, I'm not calling you old, I'm not calling anyone else old, but all the older parents that had the like more grown up kids, when I was saying, you know, they're like, how's it going there full time? You know, my previous job, I'm like, well, I'm actually leaving and going to a part-time job to spend more time with the kids. They're like, you'll never regret it. Like, not right. one person said, what are you thinking? The only one person that expressed that was my own dad. He's like, you know, I called him one day on the phone with the kids screaming, telling him what was going on. He's like, you sure you want to spend more time with them? It's like, thank you, dad. You're in sort of a meta way missing this message, but yeah, it's challenging. But it's also these are times I won't get back. And someday I mean, the goal as a dad is to raise an adult that right. goes to college or has a career and goes and does their own thing. So that when they are an adult, they have their own life and right. we're still there to support them in their own way. But right now it's just fun. Like tomorrow, it's just me, my 3-year-old, my baby, while my wife works and the older kids at kindergarten, and we're going to play games and do whatever. I don't know what it'll be, but it'll be another fun adventure like it was last week too.
Right. Yeah, I think along those lines, like my boys now, they are, my oldest son's 25, my youngest son's 22. And mm-hmm. because I spent so much time with them in their lives, yes, I was always around. I was always active in the things that they did. I was always involved. I was always, you know, I was at the parent teacher conferences and the open houses and the field trips and all those kinds of things. I did all that stuff with the boys. And now that they're adults and they're kind of on their own, right? My wife and I are empty nesters until my younger son comes back home from college after he graduates, mm-hmm. but empty nesters, we're enjoying life and all that. But my sons are two of my best friends. And because mm-hmm. because our bond was so great as they grew up, we go golfing together. We have these moments where it's just the guys, it's like the three yeah. guys, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. it's really cool. It's a neat experience. And I attribute that to our relationship that when they grew up, you know, had mm-hmm. I not been around as much, I would have been kind of that stranger now that they're adults, you know? Yeah. And I didn't want to go through life with that regret. So the fact that people are saying it, you know, you won't have any regrets doing that. Mm-hmm. Is absolutely right. I want to be able to be at my, you know, at my deathbed about to go meet my Heavenly Father and go, I have no regrets on how I raised my family, how I took care of my family. I have no regrets.
Yeah. And, it's funny. Yeah. You mentioned the field trips. I'm chaperoning a field trip Friday to the zoo. Tomorrow I'm going to our son's doctor's appointment, and our pediatrician, just whenever I go, he's kind of like, yeah, the dads aren't usually here. It's really nice that you're here along with mom and to help out and be part of that. So it's at this point pretty unconventional to do that, but it's been fun. And I hope the investments and the seeds I sow now when they're young, like my wife and I joke, like during the sleepless nights and the kids aren't, you know, not potty training or whatever, like, can we just skip to that cool adult relationship that we have with our parents? And yeah. You don't get to, and you don't want to, but that to me is the ultimate goal, is to have them be independent adults that we can have that fun adult relationship with.
Yeah. Well, don't say that too quick, because it'll be here before you know it. And then you'll be like, oh my gosh, my wife talks about how much she wishes the boys were little again. And I go, no, I don't. I don't. I'm good with where we're at right now. It's nice.
The last butt I ever wipe will be just fine with me.
Right. So right. Exactly.
Come back to that.
Exactly. I think, you know, it's funny you kind of bringing that up about it being unconventional. And one of the things that I think of, you might be familiar, you're a comedian, so you might be familiar with this guy's name is Nick Bargatze. He's a, mm-hmm. he's a real funny comedian. He was just in Phoenix like last weekend or something, or in Arizona last week.
I have three young kids, so I couldn't go, but thank you for reminding me. Yeah.
My wife and I went when he was out here in Southern California a couple weeks ago. And, you know, one of the things that he talks about in one of his little bits is, you know, he has a daughter that goes to the first grade or kindergarten, and the school teacher or the school calls him up to find out which bus his daughter's on. And he says, I'm the dad. I mean, of the emergency card where you have the mom and the dad, you decided to call the dad.
Yeah.
And so it's funny that, yes, I mean, yeah, that's true in a lot of senses. That's kind of the way it is or was, but mm-hmm. not in my family, not in my household. The school could call either one of us. Now, typically mm-hmm. my wife's a school teacher and she was always at the school, so they would obviously go to her, but that's not the case. But it's also mm-hmm. a little funny skit. So,
yeah. Well, I think that's something that when we talk about, you know, living sort of a dad up mindset, and that's something I talk about in my book, is like, my wife hasn't made dinner in 6 years. Like, I do the laundry. I do the dishes poorly in her opinion. So then she redoes them, but I try, you know, and I think that there's this idea, you know, I'm like, we're very good at division of labor, and she's got to bear the brunt of so much right now, especially at this young age, who's still having a baby. And so I have no qualms about what's, you know, normal for the dad to do. I just feel the need to contribute. And so I think, if you're the primary emergency contact, if you're the one doing the laundry, if you're, you know, I have a daughter, so someday she'll have to do her hair, and poor girl is going to have me help her. But like, you're there to help out and be part of that family unit. And I think that's something I'm very fortunate with my wife and I, is we communicate that well, you know, with who's doing what, am I doing enough? And that's usually my question, is like, am I doing enough? You're up all night with them. Am I doing enough? Right. So it comes from that place of love and a little insecurity of like, she's got the hard job right now. But it's as the boys have gotten older and there's more of that interaction with them and coaching them, as I'm doing now myself too, those roles are sort of shifting a little bit, which has been fun for me.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Let's talk about your book a little bit. What was the purpose behind the point or goal behind the book?
The point behind the book, and it's called, I Guess I'm a Dad Now, A Humorous Handbook for Newish Dads Who Don't Want to Suck. If I have one regret on the book, is that I made the title really long. So whenever I say it on a podcast or in a social post, it takes up so much space. But the point of the book was multifold. I think no one really gives you a manual to be a dad. And I think, you know, this book is targeted for those in the contemplation of kids stage up to six, because that's what I know. I will not write a book on raising teens because I've never raised one before. This is sort of a tactical real world experience of what that transition from thinking about having a kid, having the kid, that new baby's there, and trying to give dads some simple pragmatic advice that you can use from raising this little baby and what to expect. Which for me, like, I thought I'd hold this baby, the clouds would part, the angels would sing, and they give me the baby and it's like, hey, dude. And you try to say something to him and he just starts crying and wants mom and starts eating, breastfeeding right away. And it's like, oh, I know who's number one right now for the next year. So just try to, I think that's one, is just giving some tactical advice. Like, how do you travel with kids? How do you get them in, like, as they start doing activities and sports? How do you deal with that? What do you feed them? Like, what do we feed our kids? How about some help with that? I think one thing I've also found is that it helps other dads to not feel like they're alone. Like I was on another podcast and the host had gone through it. And it's like, the moment of like, I say the same thing. I'm so glad I'm not the only one who thinks this. Mm-hmm. I'm not a horrible human. And then I think the last point of it is a lot of parenting books can be very dry and preachy. And so this is funny. And you can remember that comedian, that Nate Bargatze bit, because it's funny. Right. I could remember infinite number of SNL sketches, but couldn't tell you the Krebs cycle from when I was learning it in chemistry, because they're funny. Right. And so if you want something to stick, it has to be enjoyable and fun. So this is the ultimate goal, is to give dads a handbook that's going to be fun and funny to read, that they'll actually use and then be better dads.
Right. Yeah. I love that. And I think it's important for, when it comes to my show, I mean, it was something that I wanted to do to help dads be better as dads. And yeah. I couldn't think of any other way other than to interview other dads that are doing things in their own life, whether it's being, working a serious career, running their own business, writing a book, whatever the case may be, but also being a successful parent. Mm-hmm. And I think that was kind of the premise behind my show, is like, look, I want dads to be able to go, oh my gosh, okay, I get it. All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I didn't mess up yesterday when I did that, or I should have handled it that way. I see how he's talking, those kind of things. And it's interesting, I've interviewed, I've done over 230 something episodes and had all kinds of people on my show. I still can picture different episodes that I've had of different individuals where I took something from them and went, wow, I should have implemented that as a dad, and I didn't.
Yeah.
When it comes to you kind of writing this book, you wanted it to be humorous and for other dads, and kind of the how to's of raising small kids. Mm-hmm. But what have you learned from it? I'm sure there had to be something that you just went, oh my gosh, I just wrote about this and it's a aha moment for me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's funny. Like as I wrapped this up and was editing, and I realized, like, I wrote this book for other dads, but I really wrote it for myself. Because every moment, just before we were recording, my wife was taking the kids out of the house to go on an errand so we'd have a quiet house, and we're trying to hurry them up and get them going. And you just, that realization for me, like that whenever you're going to go somewhere with toddlers, give yourself an extra 30 minutes. Right. Like there's no rushing them. Clock time doesn't exist to them. And there's no point getting upset at them. It's not their fault. They didn't choose to be made. You made them. I know how this works. I know enough biology to know how these kids came to be. And it was me and my wife's decision. So they don't care that you need to get to brunch or to an errand. They're just playing with Legos, and now you're ruining their Lego time. So that's a reminder. And I think, one other thing, as I have another baby here, is that, that first year is sort of the mom show, in that it's okay. Like, it's okay to feel like this thing doesn't love me back. Right. Well, it shouldn't. It wasn't inside of me for 9 months. It hasn't been relying on me for nourishment for the last year. It can't really talk the baby, there's not a whole lot to do. Like, I can still love it, shush it, hold it, feed her. And at some point they will start interacting, and you will have that moment as a dad where you get to step up and play, not that my wife doesn't also play, catch with them and things, but it's that, the first time I wrestled with my kids, or my son golfs. So the first time I took him golfing for real, and he knocks one right down the middle, and then your just mind is blown. Like, this little creature I made is actually kind of listening to things. Right. And based on his swing, might actually be better than me at many things. So, which is good. That's what we want from them, is to be better than us. So having that patience and that grace, I could, as I go through and kind of prepare for different podcasts and I read different sections, I'm like, I need to read my own book again. Corey, come on, man. This is what parent dadding 101, and you wrote about it. So it's sort of a reminder for myself too.
Right. Yeah. I think that's important, important to know. And when I think about, you writing this book and then catching these little moments that you're doing, I do that now. It's like, I talked about this on my show, and I mean, listen, just being completely open and honest. I'm a dad. I still mess up.
Yeah.
My boys are grown. They don't need my help anymore. I still make mistakes as their parent. Mm-hmm. That's going to continue on for as long as I know. I'm going to continue messing up. Mm-hmm. But what I do know is that there are things in their life and things in my life that I have learned as a dad, and that they have learned as my child, mm-hmm. that, hey, we're going to make those mistakes, and we just move on. We pick up from them. We learn from them. We grow from them. And then we move on to the next thing. And just the same with doing this podcast. It's like, I talk about something, and then 2 days later, I do the complete opposite. And I'm like, mm-hmm. what a knucklehead. I just did a show on this. And here I am, I just started a whole new thing about a month ago called Parenting Pep Talk, where it's just me and mm-hmm. the video. Mm-hmm. And I just give like a little 8 to 10 minute kind of segment on something about parenting. Right. Mm-hmm. And I will do that. And then the show comes out, and then less than a week later, I'm doing the complete opposite of what I just discussed on the show. And it's like, you dummy, you just shared it with millions of people. And mm-hmm. now here you are doing the opposite. Well, it's because I'm human. I make mistakes, you know? And like for you, our kids, when they're a toddler, when they're brand new, less than a year old, they may look at you when you hold them and cry. It doesn't mean they don't love you. They don't know how to love you yet.
Yeah.
And as for dads, what I would encourage dads, and I know you would agree with this because you've pretty much gone through it recently for the most part. When you have when your wife is pregnant and the baby is still, months away from being delivered, you can still talk to, this is not weird. You can still talk mm-hmm. to the belly. You can still talk to her belly and start mm-hmm. to build that bond. It actually proven science that shows that relationship, that bond actually starts building with the child and the father. When you start having those interactions with the child, when they're in the womb, trust me, I don't know how it works. I don't know why it works, but I've read research on it. And I know mm-hmm. Corey has that it works. So yes, when you take that baby for the first time after it's born and it's crying, it's not crying because you're holding it. It's crying because it doesn't know what else to do. And the thing that you was attached to is now gone. Yeah. Now they're in something else's arms or something else, and they don't know what to do. So anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. They're really cozy in that amniotic fluid, and you just rip them on out of there. It's like, come on. But a couple of things off that. One, I play guitar very poorly, but I would play, while my wife was pregnant to
that's cool.
Try to get them, a little musically inclined. But going back to that mistakes, when I was recording the audiobook version, I think, the listeners, if you get this book, I think you're going to really enjoy all the mistakes I talk about. My brother-in-law is the audio engineer for the book. And at the end, he's like, Corey, it's a good book, but you sure talk about how you messed up a lot. I'm like, that's the point. Like these are the learning points. Like if I read a book by someone who said they did it perfectly, I know they're liars and I'm not going to listen to what they have to say. But the whole point of disseminating knowledge with your podcast, with my book, with whatever, is that we've had those pain points and we want others to shorten the distance to that endpoint of that goal. Mm-hmm. I have yelled at my kids because we couldn't get ready in time. Right. You dad listening now, give yourself an extra 25 minutes and now you will have less stress. And your kids will not have to deal with what, mine have gone through. And, unfortunately, my first kid's the guinea pig, the second and third are I'm a little bit more chill with. So, he'll be okay. If I make sell enough books, I'll pay for his therapy later on. But
yeah,
no, we're, and I think having that honesty with ourselves as a dad too, is knowing we're not robots. We're going to screw up at the end of a long day. Like I'm still in my scrubs. I worked, a full day at the pharmacy. I come home, I make dinner, and we pick up the kids today. And my middle kid says, dinner better be good, dad. Like, oh gosh, thank you, 3-year-old. No, there's no rest. They are harsh critics and I would want them no other way.
Well, that's great. That's one of those patience things. Like if my boy said that to me at 3 years old, I'd be like, wait, maybe you don't need dinner.
Yeah. Do you know what it's like to cook dinner every night? And they're like, no, I don't. I'm 3. And you're like, good point.
Right.
Touché.
Right. Do you know what it's like? I work over a hot stove. No, I don't. Oh, that's right.
You shouldn't be. You're 3. That would be dangerous. Yeah. So
that's awesome. No, I, yeah, patience, Dad, patience. I mean, there's something to patience. And it's probably one of the reasons why I started coaching sports for my boys. I coached them from the ages of 4 all the way up through high school.
Yeah.
And I was coaching. And I think I did it probably to learn patience, because when you're coaching one kid that's your own kid, mm-hmm. it's easy to lose patience. But when you've got 12 or 15 kids that you've got to teach or run around with, now you've got to really learn to be patient, because you don't know how they're going to respond to your lack of patience. So you have to be careful with that. And I think for when it comes to what you were talking about earlier about giving yourself more time, one thing that I used to do as a dad, and this probably isn't the best thing to do, but when I knew that we had to be at that house, now I'm an ex-Marine, I was in the Marine Corps. So I was always, if you're not 15 minutes early, you're 15 minutes late. So if we had an appointment time at 6 o'clock and we had to make sure the family was there at 6 o'clock and got the boys ready and be there at 6, I used to tell the family, we have to be there at 5:45. That's what time it starts. Oh, it doesn't start at 6? No, it starts at 5:45. Oh, okay. Now, more times than not, we were still late. It was still after 6.
Could have been worse,
but even if it was 6:03, we're only 3 minutes late. We're not 18 minutes late like they think we are, right? Yeah. So, yeah, I used to tell my family it's always 15 minutes earlier than what the real time is. So
I'm glad I'm not the only one. See, this is those conversations. Be like, I'm not a monster. I just want to be there on time. And I mean, I'm a type A pharmacist, so I'm a big believer of being on time. And having kids has really kind of slowed my roll on that. You know, picking the things that you want to be on time for are like school, doctor's appointments, and flights. And you know, for me, Little League games are big time for me. So really, we do our best to be there. But otherwise, like, we're late to my parents' house for dinner, I don't care. And if they care, they shouldn't, because you were like my parents to my mom and dad. Like, you remember, it's hard. Yeah. We have 3. You only had 2. Come on. So, you know, having those moments of grace of like, what, you know, using that parent capital, that dad capital on like the stuff that really matters being on time and the stuff that really doesn't matter.
That is a great point, Corey. There are things where you can just say, hey, this doesn't matter as far as us being on exact time frame. You know, when it comes to family and stuff like that, they all get it. That's a great point, because there are those times where it's like, this is non-negotiable. We have to be on time. There's no negotiating here. And so we have to make sure that we are getting, when you're trying to get your kids ready, cause you have to be out the door.
Yeah.
Get them ready even earlier than what you normally would, because you know, it's going to take them longer. You don't lose patience. You just get them ready earlier. That's not their fault that you waited until the last minute to start to get them ready. And now they're throwing a temper tantrum, or now they're hungry, or now they have to go to the bathroom, or now they can't find their shoe. That's when you start to panic as a parent. So get them ready much earlier. That's a great point. But there's non-negotiables you have to live by when it comes to being a parent and having patience, for sure.
Yeah. We have a 6 a.m. flight coming up in 44 days. Not that I'm counting. I'm like already thinking of like a 6 a.m. flight. I got 44 days to get us ready. Can we be ready to get up and out of the house by then? So,
right. And you're going to have everything laid out and prepared the night before. So that way it's just a matter of shifting into a different gear that next morning.
And something will still come up, but
you'll be the block out of the neighborhood and be like, oh, forgot that. We got to go back. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, where we're going, they have stores and I have a credit card. So we'll have to move on.
That's awesome. Well, very cool. So you've done this book now for basically the younger years, obviously up to 6 years old or whatever. I'm sure that you're going to do more as you progress as a parent. Mm-hmm. You're probably, I don't know, taking mental or maybe even physical notes of what's going on as you progress, and possibly going to continue on another series to the book. I could see that happening for you. And if you didn't see that happening, I just gave you an idea that I would like royalties on. So
for sure. Yeah. You know what, if I'm selling enough of these that you're getting extra royalties, then we're all winning. Right. No, I think that I joke throughout the book, like, you know, in the next edition, we'll talk about this, or in the final edition, you know, when they're adults, we'll talk about that. So yeah, I have a children's book that's in like draft form right now that I'm editing down and working with one of my neighbors who's a phenomenal artist. She's a retired helicopter pilot in the Army, airline pilot, and awesome artist. So we you know, our little tribe of kids in the neighborhood, she's helping me with that. And then I have a midlife crisis for millennials in the works that's sort of I've written part of, and then a guide for coaching kids, sort of like in the same vein as this, like a humorous guide to surviving youth sports. So, The inspiration's all around. And I think that taking that unconventional path of working less, spending more time with the family, more time to just think of ideas. Maybe I think the compound interest of the memories will pay dividends. The monetary side of it, we'll see how many of these books I sell or who wants to come have me talk to them, but I'm having more fun than I was before. And I'm able to be more present as a father. And the fact that I have that bandwidth to think of these fun ideas and include my kids in them. And, you know, the cover of the book, my two boys are on it. You can see the back of their heads. So it's a fun process. And I mean, ultimately, I think, you know, as a parent, we want our kids to go and reach their full potential. And we tell them, you can be whatever you want to be. And I want to show them. I just want to tell them. Like, if I worked a full-time pharmacy job and was less than happy, but I tell them that you can go do what you want, they're going to think I'm a hypocrite.
Right.
But if they see me, daddy's writing books, daddy's doing these things, and he's not very successful, but he's trying, like, I'm at least showing them what I want them to strive for. So I think that's sort of an undercurrent, deeper purpose with all this is to show as a dad, like, you're there to support them, love them, but provide them hopefully a great example of who you want them to strive to be in their life.
Yeah. Leading by example is not an accident in what it means. Lead by example. And I think you're so right when you talk about that. Listen, we can tell our kids, hey, you can do whatever you want. You can be an astronaut. You can be whatever you want to be when you grow up. Mm-hmm. But you're secretly, you know that you didn't really grow up to be what you wanted to be when you got older. How are you going to be able to explain that to your kids? They're going to think you're a hypocrite. You're absolutely right. Well, Dad, you said I can be successful. I can do whatever I want. I can make all the money in the world I want, but why don't you?
Yeah.
Why isn't that the case for us? Why are mom and dad struggling to make ends meet? Because you told me I could. So why didn't you? Leading by example is huge. You could do leading by example. You could do a chapter of leading by example just by itself. Because there's so many different things that we do as parents that, you know, we don't even realize. I mean, you got a 10-month-old, and that 10-month-old is still watching everything that you're doing. And if you're raising your voice at your kids or raising your voice at your wife, that 10-year-old is going to recognize that. That 10-month-old is going to recognize mm-hmm. that and hear that. And again, that can lead to other things, which, you know, is a whole nother topic.
Yeah. And fortunately, like, our 6-year-old tells us about his friend who says his mom's on his phone all the time. And I asked him, are mommy and daddy on our phones all the time? And he's like, no, you're not. But, you know, that leading by example, I have a story in the book that I'll tease a little bit. I had was cleaning a very dirty diaper and uttered something that was an observation of what I saw when I opened up my son's diaper when he had, you know, had a big old poop. And he repeated a very funny phrase for several days after. And, you know, this was at 13, 14, 18 months, whatever it was. So yeah, they are listening. And that was like my aha moment of like, I better really watch what I'm saying and projecting onto my kids.
Yeah. I like to say it because my wife will, you know, she's been a school teacher now for almost 20 years. And some of the stories that she shares with me, you know, funny stories that she shares with me about kids that she's had or taught or things that have gone on inside the classroom. And I just go, well, that's learned behavior. Because it's exactly that. It's learned behavior. They learned it either from their parents, grandparents, or, you know, friends of parents or parents mm-hmm. of friends. So certainly leading by example, watching what you're doing around your kids is important. Cora, I wanted to ask you one last thing. And that is, if my listeners, viewers wanted to look you up, learn a little bit more about you, kind of learn a little bit more about the book, maybe even order the book, best places for them to do all that.
If you go to coryjenks.com, and that's CoryJenks.com. My parents were cheap. They didn't buy the vowel, put any E in Corey. So don't put that E in Corey. From there, you're going to find all my socials, my Instagram, my Twitter, my LinkedIn, my Facebook. And then there's links to the two books I've written on there. And so you can go on there and you know, if you're getting this, you know, the book comes out on Mother's Day, because what better gift to give mom than to be a good dad? You know, my little comedic spin on the release date. And so, and I'm going to leave that pre-order. They have a bunch of pre-order bonuses on the website. And so if your listeners go there and check it out and think, I would really like to get one of these copies of these books, you can follow the instructions there. And there's different tiers depending on the number of books you order. If you follow the instructions and you only order one, but you say you heard me on the Dad Up podcast, I'll give you the 5-tier one on the house. Cause I really want to thank you and your listeners for sharing the relatively unknown guy from Tucson that's a pharmacist and a comedian. So Yeah, my website's the greatest place to go from there. And I have a monthly newsletter that you could subscribe to. I have a Substack that's a weekly newsletter as well. So if you read my book and you're like, I just need more, Corey, well, there's more, there's plenty more to read. So I'd love to connect with your listeners. And that's about it. I really appreciate the opportunity, the venue to share my little perspective on the world of being a dad and doing all these other things along the way.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you very much for that, Corey. Thank you for not only sharing your kind of your backstory of your life and the things that you're doing and have gone through, but also, you know, trying to make a difference, not only for your family and mm-hmm. the things that you're doing as a dad and a husband, but also trying to make a difference for families out there, just as I have done. You know, I started this journey 4.5 years ago. I never thought that I would even be where I'm at right now with the show, but my whole mindset behind it was, listen, if I could help one dad out there change his life to be a better dad because he listened to my show or heard somebody on my show talk about something in parenting, then my job's complete and I will be satisfied. And it's remarkable how many stories and messages we get from people that have heard either guests or things on the show that just went, you know, that just continue to thank you. And yeah, so for people that, you know, are going to pick up the book and check you out, maybe follow you a little bit more. Listen, he's very active on social media, so you can definitely follow him there. Make sure you check out all the links that he talked about. I'm sure he has a link tree in your Instagram that has all the different links there. So make sure you guys go check that out and do me a favor, order the book and tell him that you heard it on the Data Podcast and help the guy out, raise a little bit of money for not only the work that he's done as a dad, but also give you some life skills as far as being a parent, because we all need those life skills being a parent. It's a journey. Yes. It's a jungle out there, but it's fun to do at the same time. And listen, I've told you guys this every single week, but if you've not yet subscribed to my show, I do not know why you're not, because you're missing out on guests. You're missing out on the one-on-ones that I do with its, you know, parenting pep talk. You're missing out on all kinds of stuff. And so please, I'm asking you, go subscribe to my show so you don't miss any of the awesome guests or shows that I have on each and every week. And as always, I look forward to seeing you all on the next episode of Dad Up.
Wow, another amazing episode in the books. So much was shared, and I'm truly grateful my guest was able to pour into you to help you elevate your dad game and really dad up. Make sure you bang that subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode. And while you're here, please don't forget to leave me a rating and a review. I always appreciate the feedback. Also, did you know you can watch the video interview of this episode? You can by simply going to my YouTube channel at Dad Up Podcast. Please don't forget to subscribe to my channel. And one last thing, don't forget, your role as a dad is one of the most important roles you have. So if you need a little help or have questions, don't hesitate to reach out to me on my website at daduptribe.com or at my Instagram page at Dad Up Podcast. Until next time, everyone, Dad Up.